The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Doubting Thomas. It's what we call somebody who is a skeptic and won't believe somebody until they see the evidence with their own eyes. A doubting Thomas. Poor Thomas gets kind of a bad rap. He has for centuries. This guy who won't believe that Jesus has come back to the disciples until he sees the evidence with his own eyes. But who can blame him? We read in the gospel reading today that Jesus appears to the disciples the evening of the day when, the day of the resurrection, the day when the women went to the tomb, found it empty, and two of the disciples, Peter and another disciple, go to the tomb, find it empty, and go back and tell the other disciples. So far, only the women and two of the 12 have seen the evidence of this. Then Jesus comes to the disciples when they're in the room with the door locked for fear that the Jews, who are still angry with them, particularly the Jewish leaders, may come and arrest them. Thomas isn't with them. The gospel doesn't tell us where Thomas is. Perhaps he had was risking his life by going out to get food for his companions. We don't know. The gospel doesn't tell us. All we know is that Jesus appears to the disciples in a locked room, and Thomas isn't there. Thomas has not seen the risen Jesus yet. And when he comes back and he's told about this, he's understandably a little skeptical, which most people would. People don't ordinarily resurrect themselves. Thomas has seen Jesus raise other people from the dead. Earlier in John's gospel, we see Jesus planning to head to Bethany near Jerusalem to visit Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, particularly upon hearing that Lazarus is severely ill. Jesus has already been kicked out of Jerusalem once, according to John's gospel, and then he's not particularly welcome back. And Thomas says, well, I'll go with you even if we die, because he knows that Jesus and his disciples aren't welcome in Jerusalem at that time. So Thomas has the opportunity to witness Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And Thomas has witnessed some of the other miracles that Jesus has performed, but by this time, all that Thomas knows is that Jesus has been crucified. And the evidence of his eyes is that people don't ordinarily raise themselves from the dead without a little help. So he's skeptical. Can't blame him. Does Thomas have a right to be skeptical? He certainly does. Again, the evidence of his own eyes is what it is. We may think that maybe he doesn't have a right to be skeptical, but we have the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight and a book with four gospels telling us that Jesus is raised from the dead. Thomas didn't have that benefit. Sometimes we are told that our faith has to be absolute, that it's wrong to doubt, that if you believe in Jesus, you can't question that. No ifs, ands, or buts. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, I'm not going to make you raise hands, but how many of you here have ever questioned or wondered or had doubts? I know I have. It's part of the human condition. It's perfectly normal. After my divorce from my first husband, I went through a pretty massive crisis of faith. It lasted for several years, actually. It took a minute. I'm not going to go through all the details, but it took a minute. There was a lot of questioning of God during that time. A lot of questioning of why God allowed things to happen the way they happened. A lot of questioning of God of why, just a lot of why, a lot of how, a lot of doubting, a lot of questioning. A lot of conversations with God. And if you've read your Old Testament, your Hebrew Bible, you know that there are people in the Hebrew Bible who questioned and railed against God. The book of Job is a perfect example. At the suggestion of the adversary, God sends all sorts of things against Job, this righteous man who has everything, destroys his property, kills his children, takes away his health. Throughout at least the first two things, Job doesn't question God. He continues to praise God. When Job's health is attacked, he starts to question. And then his friends all show up and say, well, it's your fault. You know, you must have done something wrong to have all this happen to you. And this goes on for the next 30 chapters. And Job just has it out with God and says, why me? Why did you do this to me? I didn't do anything wrong. It's perfectly normal, and it's okay to doubt. It's okay to question. The book of Job tells us that. Thomas tells us that. Jesus tells Thomas that it's okay. It's fine. Thomas didn't do anything wrong. Thomas had a perfectly natural, normal human reaction to a traumatic event. And Jesus responds as Jesus responds. Not with mocking, not with scolding, not with, you idiot, but with kindness, compassion, gentleness, warmth. Thomas, I invite you to see my hands and touch my hands and feel my hands. I invite you to touch my side and feel my side and know that I am real and that I am with you and that I am here and that I will always be with you. And how did Thomas respond? He recognized in that moment that Jesus loved him. That not only was Jesus real, and that what the other disciples had told him was real, but that Jesus was still with him, and loved him, and would always love him. And when we doubt, when we have those moments, when the sea is rocky and the ship is churning and you don't really know what's going to happen next, when we have these moments, when we question, what are things going on right now looking like? I have this thing going on in my life that I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't feel like God's there right now. What we have right now with our congregation, with the discernment process, and in less than 2 years, we're not sure how things are going to look, and we're working through that process, but right now, we're not sure how that's going to look right now. Jesus is still there. Jesus invites us to touch his hands and to touch his side and to know that he's there and that he's real. And to know that all we have to say is, my Lord and my God, and that God is with us. Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. Until the end of the age. Amen.